Hello, everyone.
I'm Carl.
And I'm Em.
And welcome to our podcast discussing all the latest books. This is season 3, episode
8.
And today we are discussing Love Theoretically by Allie Hazelwood. As always, we'll save our ratings until the very end.
We promise to give you all of our honest opinions on all the characters, chapters, and scenarios. We don't mean any harm to any of the authors. This is solely our opinion. And as always, we promise to Carl them like we read them.
Period. So, some trigger warnings for this book include explicit sexual content on the page. It's not throughout the entire book. Towards the end, there is some sexual content. However, throughout the entire book is like a misogynistic, sexist view. The main female character is a woman in STEM, and so I'm sure as any woman in a man's world will understand, that's a very common theme in this book. And then there's also a mixture of some like grief and death, and then issues with parents and family members. So, as always, take care of yourselves, and spoilers will lie ahead.
If you don't want to hear how this book ends, please pause here and go read the book and then come back to this episode. Are you ready to get started?
Let's get into it. All right, so the blurb for this book is this. The many lives of theoretical physicist Elsie Hannaway have finally caught up with her. By day, she's an adjunct professor, toiling away at grading labs and teaching thermodynamics in the hopes of landing tenure. By other day, Elsie makes up for her non-existent paycheck by offering her services as a fake girlfriend, tapping into her expertly honed people-pleasing skills to embody whichever version of herself the client needs. Honestly, it's a pretty sweet gig, until her carefully constructed Elsieverse comes crashing down. Because Jack Smith, the annoyingly attractive and arrogant elder brother of her favorite client, turns out to be the cold-hearted experimental physicist who ruined her mentor's career and undermined the reputation of theorists everywhere. And he's the same Jack Smith who rules over the physics department at MIT, standing right between Elsie and her dream job. Elsie is prepared for an all-out war of scholarly sabotage, but those long, penetrating looks, not having to be anything other than her true self when she's with him, will falling into an experimentalist's orbit finally tempt her to put her most guarded theories on love into practice?
All right, so welcome back, guys. So to pick up where we left off, we kind of just talked about how, well, I mainly talked about how I was not excited about how Elsie seems, but we are at the point where Jack and Elsie have visited his grandma and she's learned more about why he's wrote the letter to the editor as he had. He's also at this point offered her a position and she has declined because she thinks it would let down her mentor for working underneath Jack. So
I will, just to kick us off, I would have loved to have seen, in the last episode we talked about, like, if she'd actually gotten the position at MIT and then them work together, but it also would have been cool to see, like, her work underneath him and see that sort of aspect. That would have been kind of hot, too. Like, the tension in the workspace and, like, and him being like, you work for me, so, like, it's forbidden, kind of, you know what I mean? Like,
well, honestly, I think that would have been a good place to, like, her realize her worth. Because she may, like, disagree with something that he's got and her go toe-to-toe with him. And just, like, her refusing to back down. Like, I think that would have been an absolute, like, a better way of her figuring out herself for sure.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I can just see them, like, you know me. Everything, like, has to build up the sexual tension and then they just go at it. But in my brain, I'm, like, picturing them in the lab and, like, he's telling her, like, she needs to do it this way. And she's like, no, it's my work. I'm going to do it this way. Mm-hmm. And then they're just bickering until they get so close and then they just start kissing.
And honestly, it would have made it better.
I don't know. That's what I'm picturing. I do love a rivals to lovers, though. Like, it's not as good as an enemies to lover when we're holding daggers to each other's throat, but it's pretty close. It's pretty close.
I have to say, like, I think the biggest letdown of this was something, like, not like that. Like, I think, to be honest, that whole storyline would have made this 10 times better. Like, because I think we built up this, like, enemies to lovers, and then all of a sudden we weren't enemies to lovers. He was just all of a sudden being like, okay, well, you know, here, I'm on your side now. Like, we're in love. And it just, like, we didn't ever get, like, that, like, maybe accidental where they, like, you know, build up the tension, they kiss, and all of a sudden they're like, oh, I hate you for making me, you know, want to kiss you. And then, like, they're just, like, tiptoeing around each other in the lab for weeks, you know, trying not to get close enough where they don't kiss again. And then, you know, even for the fact that, like, with her mentor relationship, we could have had an aspect where maybe she was, he was like, oh, I've already got Monica on the inside, now I've got you, we can bring him down even quicker, you know, something like that. And then turns out, like, he ends up finding out that she's doing that, and, you know, it creates this big hostile, you know, situation. Like, there was so many different ways that we could have done that. But, like, I think the biggest mistake she made was not giving her that position.
Okay, that's fair.
I don't feel like we got anything out of it otherwise.
I will say I did like that she actually ended up working for George, though, instead of him. I also liked that aspect, that this, like, she's not relying on Jack to give her a job. Like, she got it on her own merit.
I did, but we didn't really even get much of that either. Like, we didn't...
That's fair. It was very just short at the end. We just got it like a, oh, this is where it's going to go in the future, but we don't get to see it sort of thing.
Yeah, it was just, like... I mean, if she would have accepted it when the first time when she was offered it, like, I would have loved to see that. Or, like, maybe George gets the job she initially hires for, and then she ends up deciding to work under Jack, and then all of a sudden, like, she decides that she needs to go work for George instead because her and Jack can't work together because they're, you know, there's too much sexual tension built up, and, like, she's gotta separate herself. Or
I would have liked to have seen, like, George and Jack almost, like, kind of, like, not fight over her, but, like, go back and forth and try to, like, woo her into accepting one of their positions. Yeah. Like, that become a little bit of a plot.
Yeah. Like, there's just
so many... like, he would be, like, taking her on a date and, like, you know, who knows what he's doing after the date. And George is like, how else to compete with that? I don't know. I feel like it would have been hilarious to, like, watch George try to convince her at the same time as, like, watching Jack be, like, so into it and, like, this little competition over her. And I think that would have, like, helped her, like, helped her ego a little bit too, like, oh, like, I really am a competitive candidate and I'm not just second best, like, settling for, you know. But, and, like, really put it in her mentor's face that these two extremely well-known and talented and intelligent are fighting over me.
Yeah,
like, you know, so,
but. Especially somebody in the opposite field in which she's in,
correct, like, even more so. Been,
yeah, I definitely think that I definitely think there's about 20 different ways it could have been wrote better, to be honest, with a lot of that.
Yeah, we've come up with some really good ideas.
We always do.
Which is easier said than done, sorry. Because hindsight is always 20/20. So, like, reading the whole book, then we can nitpick it. But if we were actually writing it, we might not have written it the way we even suggested. So
publishers could use us. Hello.
I'm just saying. Y'all need some editors?
We'll definitely make your books and bestsellers, that's for sure.
Just brace your feelings.
Well, that, and I mean, we may have to include a couple of reverse harems just to appease somebody else, but, you know.
I'm dead.
But we end up getting back into where her mentor is very furious that she was chose under or over the other candidate. And apparently he doesn't even know who George is. And
which I think is a lie, and him just being, like, manipulative and dismissive of another woman.
Well, that, and it just, for the fact as well, you know, she is just like, hey, I'm just going to apply for some other jobs. And, you know, he almost, like, gets offended. He's like, what do you mean? Like, you already have several other jobs. And I'm just like, okay, but you just wanted her to apply for another job. So, you know what I mean? It's just,
it's because it's not the job he wants her to apply for. He wants her teaching, not doing research. And I simply think that is because she's better than him.
Yeah.
But she doesn't understand that yet. I don't know. We said it the last episode, and I'll say it this episode. I have a hard time relating to a woman, especially a woman that we're setting up to be, like, an intelligent woman. Letting a man tell her what to do, it's an ick.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when it's like, it might kill you doing what he wants you to do.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know.
Well, the fact she was letting him is my biggest problem. I mean, she legitly just, like, was just gonna let him kill her, basically, just because she didn't want to go against him. And I just...
She didn't even, like... I don't even feel like she even attempted, really, to advocate for herself. That bothered me. Which, and don't get me wrong, like, it happens. 1,000% it happens. And I know there are plenty of women out there in the world and men who let their partner or their mentor or whatever control what they do. But it just, for me, it disconnected me from her because of that.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to like her.
I wanted to like her just because I want to be able to connect with the character. But I think the biggest thing to me was, again, there were so many different problems she was having. I couldn't latch onto just one for me to ever connect with her. Like, it just, I know we've said this about past books. It just felt like, let's just throw every idea out there to make the storyline, but like, let's not connect the dots between any of them. And I think you and I are very similar in the fact that we both, you know, study criminology and stuff. So like, all the dots have to connect at some point, almost like a case. Like, we have to be able to like draw the strings and, you know, connect the dots. And like, to me, it just is like, as soon as I was getting ready to connect a string to another dot, it just, we couldn't. And so then I just have a string just hanging there. And then like at the end of the book, we're just like really quickly tie the string and we're done. And it's just like, that's not a satisfying thing for me because I have to know the whys, the who's, the what's. And I think it was just, there were so many different storylines we tried to play with that it was impossible to give all of that information because there was just too much.
Yeah, that's fair.
And honestly, like the mentor-mentee relationship, I feel like we almost didn't even really need to have that. I get why we had it as far as with the people-pleasing storyline, but I think we could have just gotten where she applied for that job and got it. And then we had like that tension situation. And yeah, we could have had like a struggle. Like I said, maybe like her father was in that field and, you know, maybe had influenced her to go into that field. She didn't really like that field or, you know, something along that lines. But or she maybe had a health struggle like halfway through the end of the book. Like, we really played on the health situation. She could have had a major health problem or, you know, his grandma could have passed away. I mean, you know, something that we could have had that tragic third act situation that we could have ended up like at the same kind of start, but with more of like a connection to the characters. I said with even Jack, like, I don't feel like we got the full extent of what he could have been for her because I think there was just so much going on with her personally that we could have eliminated about 3 or 4 of those, and we influenced Jack into a situation where they were kind of the forced proximity like trope where we had to like force them to be together in a way. You know, maybe her dad could have been working with Jack and, you know, he thought a man could be better than a woman. We could have still played on that misogynistic storyline. And then, you know, Elsie has worked her whole entire life to prove herself that she could be just as good as the men in that field. And, you know, she gets there and Jack kind of challenges that a little bit. You know, there's so many different ways we could have ended up with the same solution, but with more of a connection to the characters. And I think that they're all important subjects, but I think that we could have narrowed it down to 2 or 3, maybe even 4, and it would have had the same impact, maybe even stronger of an impact. So
that's fair.
And I mean, even when we meet the friends, we seem to get sort of like where there are these strong, independent women and Elsie's kind of influenced by that and kind of, you know, encouraged by that. But at the same time, you know, she doesn't seem to recognize that she could be that for herself. So it was almost just like a point that was in there that wasn't fully elaborated on, because I mean, like Olive, for example, you know, she talks about how, you know, she's, you know, big in her field and like how difficult it is to be a woman in STEM. And like, she talks about her struggles and Elsie's kind of just like, oh yeah, you know, their struggles. It wasn't like, okay, yeah, this is what I've been going through. Help me navigate how you overcame that. You know, we could have had a very important discussion there about that kind of situation, but then we end up turning that whole entire party into a conversation about how Jack, you know, doesn't date because, you know, he just wants to have sex kind of situation, which honestly, another reason that bothered me is that Jack didn't seem like the kind of guy who just had sex either. Like, it was just like,
I agree.
There was just several different character problems that I just didn't see where I could connect with any of them. So,
well, and like, so Olive's experiences, and I only know this again because I've read the book, but her experiences were more of like sexual harassment, which is obviously like much clearer of an issue than like the mentor manipulative. Like, it wasn't, it's not so obvious that your mentor is ruining your career as it is, obviously, if someone's sexually harassing. Yeah. So I think that was, like, just an ode to, like, referencing them. And I do think it should have been a little bit more explained in this book, because not everybody has read The Love Hypothesis.
Yeah. And honestly, if it was something like that,
it made me really happy to see them.
I think it should have been influenced as, like, hey, this is a standalone book, but, you know, it's an interconnected series. Like, I feel like I didn't know
that. It's technically not an interconnected series, though. You just see them visit for real quickly in this book, but it's not interconnected because they don't, like, their programs aren't the same. The school's not the same. They don't, it does not.
But
you don't learn anything about them. But it could have been. Yeah, for sure. Agree. There could have been, like, a conference or something that they go to, and, like, that's where they run into them, and that's where we, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Because Olive and Adam do actually go to a conference in their book. But I think that was just, like, a, she knew the people who have read it, like, would want to see them again and, like, talk about, here's them in the future sort of thing, like, talking about getting married or whatever. But I agree that it should have been a little bit better explained if we were just going to briefly pop them up.
Well, and even with that, we end up adding in the Andy character and different things like that. And, I mean, we had another character that we got influenced to be introduced to, and then all of a sudden, like, there's no importance of why we got introduced. And, like, if you wouldn't have told me that she was in the other book, I would have never known. I'm like, okay, well, why did we bring this character into this situation? Which is what my thoughts were when I read it. I'm like, okay.
Andy isn't one of them.
No, I'm just talking about, like, just we have another character that was added that there really wasn't a reason for the storyline to be there.
Gotcha. Okay.
Like, I get the conversation that Andy had with Jack at that one point of, like, you know, what are you doing? Why are you, you know, getting this situation with her? But at the same time, like, we could have done that with George, or we could have even done that with Olive, or, you know, we could have done that with some other character that's been influenced, or even Hale the grandma. She could have had been like, hey, you don't date, like, what's going on here? You know, but it just, we've introduced all these characters and we just get, like, one conversation with that character and then we're done with that character. And it's just like, okay, but why even introduce them if we're just gonna have one conversation about that?
Well, and I agree with you that it was out of character for Jack to be somebody that just, like, sleeps around.
Yeah.
And so then introducing Andy just to do that part was like, what was the point of that?
Yeah.
But
I have to say, I think my biggest thing, and I mean, kudos to Rebecca Yarros, I guess, but she, with her background characters in Fourth Wing, I guess just have influenced me to, like, I want more out of my background characters. Like, if that makes any sense, because, like, every book I've read since, I'm just like, okay, what's the point of adding this character if you're not going to even do anything with them? Because no matter who the background characters were in her book in some sort of way, they're always important in some way. I mean, even Hell the Dragon, you know, the one-eyed dragon, I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but he becomes a big influence in the second book. You know, there's just different...
That's how Throne of Glass is, too. Like, there's... You don't realize it when they're first introduced. You're kind of like, okay, this is somebody else. Like, do I need to know them? Do I not need to know them? But, like, by the end of the book, you're like, holy crap. Yeah. Like, this, here's all the connections and, like, how we built up to that. Like, it's like a crime scene investigation with the strings and everything. But I guess because this isn't a series, that's why we're like, the side characters can be kept to a minimum because they're not important.
Yeah.
But it's because it's not a series that they're not important. But in this scenario, like, Andy wasn't important. George really probably wasn't either. Unless we had done, like, the fighting over her a little bit more or something. Or if she was the angry ex or whatever. And then she ended up working for her. That would have been hilarious. But anyways.
Just the grandma.
Yeah. Like, none of them Monica's were really that son. Important. Honestly, not even the storyline about her being with Greg. Like, we could have just said she was a fake date to one of his friends one time or something. Yeah. And moved past it. Like, it didn't need to be. But again, because I think maybe it's not a series that we're sort of, like, expecting more. We want more. We don't get more.
Yeah. Maybe. So we do get a point where Elsie does try to stand up to her mother when she calls about her brother. And her mother ends up hanging up on her. But she kind of just tells Jack about how her mom always expects her to fix the issues and all that kind of stuff. And instead of really kind of, like, encouraging her how to stand up for herself, he invites her to dinner and just, like, hopes to, like, distract her from it. And, you know, he agrees to watch Twilight with her, which, I mean, after we've reread the books, the movies are much better. So
I was just telling somebody this the other day. I was like, please do not reread that as an adult because you will hate it. I tried. Yeah, because they're talking about Hunger Games, that the new one coming out. And I was like, I need to read them. I've never read them. And they were like, oh my gosh, are you serious? Like that in Twilight, I loved it. And I was like, well, let me tell you, don't reread Twilight. Because that was messed up.
Well, and honestly, it's made me not want to reread Harry Potter because I'm afraid that I'm going to hate Harry Potter. So
yeah, like I've never read the Divergent series either. And like I would like to at some point in my life. And I'm scared that I'm going to read that in Hunger Games and be like, this is terrible.
So I've read both of them. And I mean, obviously, it's been years since I read either. Actually, I think I read Divergent before the movies came out. So like I kind of knew what was going to happen, but I don't think I probably would like it equally as which I did. But I also really liked the Hunger Games movies and people did not. So
I really liked Hunger Games. I will say like as it went, like the first one is my favorite one.
Yes.
But I did like them. Well, I really liked Divergent, though. I really liked that one.
I liked Divergent, too. Like, a lot of people seem to have a problem with Divergent, especially. But, I mean, to me, it didn't seem, honestly, that bad. Now, I do have to say the last one I was kind of disappointed in. But, I mean, honestly, Theo James, as long as he was there, I didn't care.
Well, and I love Shailene, too. Like, I just... And then I liked another one that was, like, along those lines is Maze Runner.
Yes, I liked Maze Runner. Those two. I wish they did a second movie of Maze Runner. Or third movie. Was it a third movie?
Third, I think. Yeah. I think they did two, but I don't think they did third one. I'm pretty sure they did two.
I think there's four or five books in the Maze Runner series, which I have not read the book, so I don't know as far as the context of that. But I love Dylan O'Brien, like anything he's in, yes. I'll watch. So
1,000%.
They do end up kissing, and the two of them kind of argue because Elsie thinks that Jack doesn't want to have sex with her. And he's just like, you know, it's too soon. You know, you're only wanting to do this to kind of please me, kind of the people pleaser kind of thing. And so she gets kind of angry, but he does say that, you know, like, you know, once you figure out what you want and what you need, then we can talk about it. So they do end up going to lunch with Greg, and Elsie kind of does talk about how easy it is to be around them, which she always kind of had kind of like a brotherly kind of love with Greg. But she does end up staying the night with Jack, and she does admit that like she knows what she wants out of the relationship, knows what she expects. And so they do end up having sex for the first time. And she thinks that she's pretty happy and everything, but she does say that she needs to go home because she needs to change her insulin pod. But he kind of, on the way, she asks him about his mother and kind of like that relationship because, you know, she found out the information from his grandma. He describes that basically there was issues with his mother and a lead researcher in her group who was very controlling and like wouldn't allow her to come back to work after she had Jack. And so she kind of daydreams a little bit about what it would be to accept George's job offer and kind of where that would end up leading.
Can I just add that him wanting to learn how to change out her pod and like help take care of her?
That was very sweet.
So hot.
I did like it because she also said that like previously like people had been disgusted by it and like he was just like, no, don't leave. Like, let me help you. So it was kind of sweet. I did also really enjoy when they get to the game night at George's, when they're having some kind of tournament, which I've never heard of this game, so I'm not sure what all it is.
You've never heard of Go?
No.
Emily, yes you have. You just probably don't realize.
I mean, possibly, but...
Hang on. It's that game. The little white and black dots that you have to move around?
Mm-mm. I don't recognize it.
That's crazy.
Okay, so George kind of corners Elsie at this party and, you know, asks her if she's going to accept. And she says that she has to get her mentor's approval, which basically George does kind of say, like, you don't need his approval. It's your life. And she's like, no, I owe everything to him, which she ends up finding out that's not true. But Elsie kind of overhears a conversation with Andrea at this party, and she thinks that Jax somewhat still despises her for being a theorist. And she kind of says that she's reminded why she didn't, you know, like him in the first place. And Elsie finally confronts the elephant in the room after quite some time and asks him why he wrote that article in the first place. And, you know, Elsie calls her mentor as an unintentional victim. And Jack says, you know, no, he wasn't unintentional. He was the main target. And he describes that basically he was the mentor that he had talked about earlier that had forced his mom basically out of physics because he was jealous and he wanted to control her. And so he wrote the article because the university refused to do anything because he wasn't the direct victim of the problem.
And the victim was already dead at that point.
And so Elsie kind of does reflect to him that, you know, how much impact it had on her and her life. And she's very furious and just asks him to leave. He does agree to do so, but she does end up finally meeting up with her mentor. And he calls her a silly, stubborn little girl when she describes that she's trying to take on this opportunity. And, you know, she talks about everything, and he finally ends up admitting that he's the reason why she didn't get some of the other opportunities. And he refuses to even talk about the Turner, which is Jack's mom. He refuses to talk about her and walks out very strongly and says, like, you should really start calling me by my actual name. And I was very proud of her that she did end up emailing the university and filing a complaint against him. I think that that was very brave of her, especially as a woman in any kind of field, but also in the fact that, you know, she was willing to stand up to him and not take his crap, which sadly is what kind of Jack's mom kind of did in that aspect. So,
well, I think it was important too, because who else is he mentoring?
Yes.
You know, and like, or that needs could to be
mentor in the future.
Yeah, that needs to be addressed. I will say this. The fact that 17-year-old Jack wrote an article so well, like this whole revenge plot,
yeah,
like he did so good, like honestly, like I have to give credit where credit is due.
He did.
I couldn't be mad at him if it was me, because I'd be like, you did a great job. I don't agree with what you did, but you did a great job doing it.
Well, and I think it's important to also mention that he did end up writing an article, you know, referring to the published one. And he's like, hey, like, I didn't think about who else it would affect along with the person I was aiming it for. And so, and
we, you know, love accountability. That's hot.
Yeah. And he did admit, like, he doesn't think anything less than the field. And he feels like he brought down the field because of, you know, the article and things like that. So I did really appreciate that. I do also appreciate that Elsie does decide to accept George's offer because she wants to do something for herself for once. I did not like the whole storyline where she exposed to CC that she didn't like any of her stories, and like Twilight's her favorite movie and all that kind of stuff. I just felt like it was kind of dumb. I mean, I don't know.
I get the whole, like, I'm going to actually be myself now.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like I told you earlier, if all of a sudden you told me that everything that you had lied to me and said you liked, you didn't actually like, and you liked all of these other things that we talked about and said were atrocious for so long, I would literally be like, I don't even know who you are.
Well, first of all, you would never get me lying about anything to try to make, like, I'm,
yeah, gonna, we're not, you, we're not those kind of people.
I'm going to tell you, like, this is the stupidest thing you've ever made me do. Yeah.
we're not those kind of people.
No.
But I think, like, you can't really have a true friendship if you won't even tell me that you dislike this movie that, no, I just put on. Like, that's crazy.
And honestly,
so that bothered me a little bit.
You've asked me to read some pretty stupid books, and I've allowed you to allow me to do that. So,
and vice versa.
Yes. And I'm going to tell you they're stupid, and that's okay. This is one of them, but
this one wasn't as bad as some of the
honestly,
other ones.
Honestly, it's not probably the worst one you've ever had.
You made me read The Twin. We will never get over that. To this day, if someone says, what's a book that you hated? I'm like, The Twin. Let me tell you about it.
Lovely Bones. Lovely Bones for me.
Which, that wasn't like a, I loved it and I wanted you to read it. That was a, I just wanted to read it because I had never read it.
Yeah.
And it ended up not being that great either. So, I agree on that one. But and then like Say You Swear, obviously. You really liked that one.
Yeah.
It wasn't it for me.
It
was okay.
Terrible, though.
We can agree to disagree. But I cannot picture that, having a friend that acts like they're so into it when they're not.
Yeah.
Especially like such a like niche thing. Like those films were like a very specific type of person would like them. They weren't like Twilight everybody likes.
Yeah.
Except for a select few people who think they're cool because they hate it. But like these were very niche, like a minority would like them. So it wasn't even like it was like to go along with the crowd saying you liked them. You're going against the crowd probably saying you liked them.
Yeah.
But you're doing that on purpose. But having also, movie like, marathons.
She also like researched stuff about it to be able to talk about it in a conversation with her too. So like That's she took crazy. It to a whole different extreme.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't think we could be friends if you ever did that. Like after that, and not
because who are you? I don't even know who you are anymore.
Well, not for the simple fact that you lied to me, but the fact that you can't be a strong, independent woman and tell me you didn't like the movie. Like that, I would respect you after that. To be honest, like if you can't tell me about a movie, like what else are you going to sit there and lie? Are you going to tell me that I look pretty in a hot pink wedding dress? Like, hello. Like I don't trust your opinion anymore.
Yeah, you don't worry about that because that will not be me.
I knew it won't.
But one thing about me is I'm going to tell you what I think. I saw something that posted the other day and they were like, when I say, do you want me to be honest? Your answer should be no.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to like what comes out next if you say yes.
Well, usually whenever whenever I ask your opinion, like, or you ask my opinion, I'm usually like, what level of honesty do you want out of me? Do you want me to hurt your feelings or do you want me to tell you?
Are you seeking validation or are you seeking criticism?
Yeah. Like that's always our question between the two because we want to make sure we gauge how we're looking for a response. So And honestly, that's why I come to you with a lot of the decisions, because I know you're going to say it, whether it's going to hurt my feelings or not, because like I'm like on the fence about it. I'm like, should I do this or not? Like the whole wallpaper situation. I'm like, hey, what do you want? And you're like, honestly, I'm too drunk right now to give you my honest opinion. So
I was plastered. Let me tell you, I haven't been that drunk in a while.
But like, honestly, I was like, I don't care because you as drunk is going to give me your unfiltered opinion. So tell me. So
yeah, me drunk is worse. I mean, I'm already pretty bad sober, but me drunk is like I will yell at you across the room in front of everybody instead of doing it in a corner privately when I'm sober. So
But like that's always like how our friendship has been, though. Like what level of honesty do you want? Like, you know, there's like three different levels, like extreme, middle ground, and then like, okay, I'll just fluff it to make you not. Which honestly, as women, our feelings are fluctuated, so it's kind of a good thing we do that, because like sometimes you could hurt my feelings if I was in a different time of the month, and I probably would hate you for like 3 weeks.
Well, I think we're good about like, and in this context, like, is the movie that big of a deal? I think so. It would have hurt my feelings if someone had told me all this time that they loved all these things, just to like connect somehow, but like really they hated it and were miserable the entire time. Like, why are we even friends?
As that goes, though, what would hurt me is the fact that like I would get excited that you liked it so much that I would be like, oh my gosh, like I finally have somebody that I can connect with this, instead of going to find somebody I actually could connect with. I'm like putting all of this like expectation into that, like with, you know, Fourth Wing, I was really nervous for you to read it, but I really wanted you to read it because I wanted somebody to talk to about it. And so like, if you would have lied to me and been like, yeah, it's the greatest thing ever. And I'm like, literally for now a year later, still sending you things like, look at this. And you're like, secretly hating it.
I would have came clean if I lied about that, because I can't do that. See, but that's just my personality. Like, I'm not writing it out that long.
But I feel like what they did, though. Like,
yes, I agree.
Did that for her. It's like, it wouldn't surprise me if it was like a Comic-Con thing. She would have like shown up in costume at a Comic-Con because of her dedication to like lying about this. So
I agree, and that would have bothered me as well. I think, though, like obviously like more important things you should like we're good about, like if it's something that is serious enough, it's like, listen, this might hurt your feelings, but I need to tell you this is a bad idea, or like you should not have done that or whatever. Like we're good also about like accountability, like saying like, okay, listen, nobody else is going to tell you this, but I'm going to tell you this. This is not right. But, like, they didn't – I don't feel like they did that a lot. So, like, their friendship to me was sort of like – it's like that – I don't know. It's like – because it's like the person you share a dorm with. Like, you're friends because you live together, but do you really know each other kind of vibe, you know? But I also think that this idea of like, we like, I have to pretend to like what you like to bond.
Mm-hmm.
You don't, though. Like, I can tell you, like, these movies are not necessarily my favorite movie, but if you want to have a movie marathon, I can still sit through those movies every once in a while and watch them because we're friends and that's what you do for friends or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it kind of, like, felt like really undermined the identity, like, of friendships in general to be like, oh, I have to lie about it.
Yeah.
You don't, though. You could tell her that it's not your favorite thing ever, but you're still willing to sit through a movie marathon with her every once in a while. You know what I mean? Like, because it's compromise. That's in any relationship, you have to compromise.
I mean, so, really, what we started our entire friendship on was just the fact that we worked together. And, like, it was something so trivial. But at the same time, then over time, we found other things that we related to. And, like, I mean, we're still not similar in a lot of ways. But at the same time, like, there's, like, four or five things that we relate to that, you know, books, obviously, one of them. But
yeah. But I think that's also, like, what makes a friendship or a relationship better. I don't want to be the same as you. I mean, I can hang out by myself. I want to be this. If I just wanted someone to tell me everything I like to hear, I'd just tell myself that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't need that. So
no, I don't think I would like to hang out with you if you were the same person as me.
No, me either.
I can't believe I wouldn't
want a second Carly either.
All right. So she does end up going to Jack to apologize about everything. And he was just like, hey, you know, I haven't come see you because, you know, I wanted to give you the space you were asking for. And she's like, you know, I was trying to be completely honest with you. She tells him the things that she's mad about. Her mom's calling. She does pick up the phone and just, like, tells her to stop calling her. She does tell Jack that she accepted George's offer and that she still hates him, but she has feelings for him too. And he tells her that the only thing he wants is to spend his life with her. And she admits that she's not ready for that yet, which he does say, like, I promise I'll wait for you as long as it takes.
I think it's super cute.
We do end up getting in the epilogue where she has moved in with him. So, what is your final thoughts and rating?
Great question. When I finished it, I was enamored. And so in Fable, I rated it a 5. I think after reviewing today, I think I would give it a 4.7. Take off just a little bit for some things that I think I agree could have been wrapped up better and just connected better throughout the story so that it was cohesive from beginning to end. I will say, though, that I did really like it still. I love a woman in STEM that automatically just boosts it for me anyways. And then I really like Jack and the way that he cared for her and, like, the way that he loved her. Loved him. So that helped me ignore some of the other things that I might not have liked about the book. But what about you?
I did rate it a 3.25, but it's solely based on the ending rather than the book as a whole. I did not like the book, though, as a whole. I think there was just so much that was put into it that made it unenjoyable. I think it was almost like we had, like, 17 main characters that we had to keep up with, and they were all different versions of the same person, because there was...
You rated it a 3.75 on Fable.
I did, but now reflecting back on it, it's okay. 3.25. Yeah.
Okay, I just wanted to clear. Okay.
Yeah. Clarification. I just, like, to me, like, it just... There's just so much to it. And, like, at the end of the book, I did really enjoy how it ended. Like, I felt like it was, like, a classic love story and everything. But just, like, reflecting back on it, like, I really don't think I connected with any of the characters. I don't think I connected with any of the storylines. Like, I love the concept of the book, like, a woman in STEM, like, her going through a misogynistic storyline, like, absolutely happens every single day. Like, love that. Love that she was trying to fight, you know, that kind of fight. But at the same time, like, I don't feel like she fought it. Like, I feel like, you know, it was just kind of like, she accepted it was happening to her, and then all of a sudden a man came in, made her realize that that was happening, and then all of a sudden she's like, oh, I'm a woman, I need to stand up for myself. But, like, I had a problem with the fact that, like, I didn't feel like Jack was supporting her. I felt like he was pushing her to come to that conclusion. And, like, yes, I love that he was, you know, able to help her realize that. That's great. But at the same time, like, I would kind of like her to be more of a... strong, independent woman, I guess is the best way of saying it. Like, I felt like she just relied so much on other people the entire book all the way to the end. And basically the final like 2 to 3 chapters, I felt like we finally got like that strong, independent woman. And I didn't get enough of that for me to really connect to her. Like, if we got would have gotten her kind of relying on men the entire first part of the book, and then all of a sudden she realized it, and then the last part of the book was, you know, more of her being strong and independent, I think I would have liked it a lot more. But just like looking back on it and kind of talking it through today, I really just don't think that I can rate it any higher than that, because it just, to me, it just wasn't what it should have been, in my opinion, as what the topics that she was trying to hit. I feel like it could have been more.
Okay, that's fair. So if you liked this episode or any of our other episodes, please subscribe to get access to bloopers randomly throughout each month or on the 5th Friday if there is one. We also have extra content, community chat, and more on Patreon. You can find our free episodes each Friday on any podcasting platform.
You can also send us book suggestions, comments, or general inquiries to our email at likewereadthem@carlmpodcast.com. You can join us on Fable, Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram for more engagement from us and the latest news. Carl, do you want to let them know what we're reading next?
Yes. So our next book is Bright Young Women by Jessica Knoll. I'm very excited for this book. Episode
9
comes out on May 2nd. Episode
10
comes out on May 9th. The blurb for this book is, January 15th, 1978 is a night of promise. A serial killer's escape in Aspen, Colorado couldn't be further from the minds of the busy young women at the top sorority on Florida State University's campus in Tallahassee. Sorority president Pamela Shoemaker spends her Saturday night glued to her desk, cradling her textbook like a pillow. Startled awake at 3 a.m. by a strange noise, she makes the fateful decision to investigate. What she finds outside her bedroom door is a scene of implausible violence. Two of her sisters dead, two others maimed. It is the final murderous spree of the man the papers will soon dub the All-American Sex Killer, but Pamela doesn't know this yet. Nor does she know the story of 25-year-old Ruth Wackasky, I'm sorry if I butcher that, who 4 years earlier disappeared from Seattle Lake Sammamish State Park in broad daylight, confounding police and shattering Ruth's roommate and best friend, Tina Cannon. When the massacre at the Tallahassee sorority house becomes national news, Tina is certain it is the work of the same man who terrorized the Seattle area four years prior. She rushes to Florida on a collision course with Pamela and one last impeding tragedy. Bright Young Women is a story of two women who demanded answers to questions nobody else would ask. What happened to Ruth the day she went missing? And how did a serial killer from the Pacific Northwest set his sights on a sorority house in Florida? Toggling between those nightmarish days in 1798 and a letter that brings Pamela and Tina together in the present, the astonishing truth is revealed, along with a portrait of the extraordinary women who saw past the media's glorification of the Kennedy of killers for who he really was. And let me preface this. First of all, this is fiction, but the serial killer and the crimes and some of the victims in this book are loosely based on Ted Bundy and his victims. So going in, you should be aware of that, and there are definitely trigger warnings, so definitely check those out before diving in. But we appreciate you tuning into this episode, and we can't wait to hear your thoughts. Don't forget to join us over on Fable so we can discuss as we read. And as always, we promise to Carl them like we read them. Damn song.